Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the eviction of the Occupy Wall Street protesters from Zuccotti Park and speak with the anti-corporatist activist Reverend Billy, who is near the scene of the police invasion and will give us an update on local reactions and the next move for the Occupy movement. Although the New York mayor has favourable ratings amongst liberals, several months ago in an interview with me, the Reverend Billy accused Michael Bloomberg of being hostile to the First Amendment. Then we will speak with the author of a study of investments made by congressmen and senators that indicate lawmakers benefit from rules that they wrote to exempt themselves from insider trading laws. Alan Ziabrowski, a professor of business at Georgia State University, joins us to explain how U.S. senators beat the market by 12 percentage points annually and House members beat the average investor by 6% due to their unique access to privileged information. Then finally, Gershom Gorenberg joins us in the studio. He's an Israeli historian and the author of a new book, The Unmaking of Israel, which argues for choices Israel must make now to ensure a successful democracy and avoid being a failed state, arguing for changes that are not only possible but are essential to start remaking Israel. Gershom Gorenberg is a senior correspondent with The American Prospect and blogs at southjerusalem.com. Let's now go to Zuccotti Park. Joining us now is Reverend Billy, an anti-corporatist activist who takes the role of a revivalist minister with his Church of Life After Shopping. The Reverend and his gospel choir exhort consumers to abandon the products of large corporations and mass media. He also preaches a broader message of economic justice, environmental protection, and anti-militarism, protesting sweatshops and illegal and unnecessary wars. He joins us from near Zuccotti Park, where the Occupy Wall Street protesters were just evicted last night. Welcome to Background Briefing, Reverend Billy.
Yes, I'm glad to be here. I'm down at Zuccotti Square here in downtown Manhattan.
And at this point, what is the scene? The police moved in last night, evicted everybody, and where does it stand?
Well, there are thousands and thousands of people, and there are thousands and thousands of policemen. And it looks like a New Yorker cover. There's a tourist bus with a bunch of tourists on the second floor of the bus taking pictures of us, giving us the peace sign, as if in agreement. We're waiting for a court decision, which we have no idea if the police will respect it one way or the other. They don't have necessarily a record of respecting the courts. They kept us in jail for days in 2004, the Republican National Convention, flouting the court. There's a mic check going on over here. Mm-hmm. Flouting the court's instruction that we'd be freed. And you could say that the injunction, that a restraining order already is in effect, supposedly from the courts, that would instruct the police to let us back in. So I'm looking at Zuccotti Square now. It's completely empty. It's kind of a fancy corporate-type park. It's got kind of lights coming up from underneath it, slots of light coming through translucent material on the floor of the park. You know, it's one of those parks that looks a little like a blueprint. You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't have any grass. It's a corporate-sized public space that the surrounding Wall Street companies were forced to put here in exchange for adding height to their skyscrapers.
So, Reverend Billy, when we last spoke a few months ago, before the Zuccotti Park was occupied by the Occupy Wall Street movement, before the movement began, you were saying that Mayor Bloomberg has a hostility to the First Amendment and that demonstrating in New York has been a dangerous and difficult activity, and you've been incessantly jailed. So why is it that people like Tom Friedman of the New York Times think that Mayor Bloomberg is a possibility as a third-party presidential candidate?
I don't know. A lot of things are going on right now that are not making sense on their face. It would seem that the police are being illegal at this present time, according to the court restraining order. It would seem that the police are almost on a daily basis committing acts of violence or being caught on videotapes, pepper spraying bystanders in the courts. They've been caught lately placing drugs on people to then catch them and put them in jail, so forth and so on. The police right now in New York City, you have something like the credibility of the L.A. police around the time of Rodney King. Mike Bloomberg has been trying to stay above the fray, but he's the richest man in town with $25 billion. He's definitely the 1%. His news conferences, he has an air of parental patience, as if well, if they were a little bit cleaner, or, you know, if they were a little bit, you know, we're afraid for the safety, and local businessmen are complaining. He seems as if he's patient, but driven to, by ordinary decency, to stop this revolution. And everybody's just, we're all going to go to jail by the hundreds tonight if they don't obey the courts. We're ready. We've been instructing each other and having friends bring warm and underwear and get ready.
Well, I guess is it some small comfort, the Reverend Billy, that not only have the police been rough on evicting the occupiers from Zuccotti Park, they've been rough on the press that showed up there in the middle of the night to document what was happening.
Well, they've just been in an old cultural war that should have been over a while ago. They're caught in a culture gap. I live out in Brooklyn with my partner and our 19-month-old baby. We have firemen and cops in our neighborhood, and I'm just not sure that they understand the extent to which they are protecting lawbreakers, and they are inciting, by and large, peaceful, articulate protests from going forward, very much in the American tradition. They must. Officer Delgado, amen. I'm ready. I got my long johns on tonight. I'm all set. Is my arresting officer from last week when I was arrested with Christopher Hedges for locking arms in front of the Goldman Sachs.
Well, Reverend Billy, I was just saying that the police are apparently even beating up and roughing up the press who are trying to cover it. I guess it gets back to, again, to Bloomberg. He's a man from Wall Street. It's pretty clear where his ultimate sympathies lie. You say he's exhibited a kind of air of parental patience,
right?
But the long and the short of it is, it's pretty clear where his sympathies lie. But the question now is he really telling the police? I mean, this incident was preceded by you and others being incessantly jailed. So I'm wondering, again, why it is that people think this mayor is something of a liberal and a progressive when he is clearly very, very hostile to the First Amendment, based upon your own experience.
Well, Mr. Masters, the idea that Mike Bloomberg is progressive in some way, you might as well argue that Bill Clinton is progressive. He's like Karl Rove in reverse. He has signature issues with which he plays the electorate, like guns and cigarettes. You know, he's against guns, he's against cigarettes. Well, all right, you know, but he's against unions as well. Unless the union is so powerful that they really do have some power, like the police union, for instance. But no, he's not a progressive person. And I heard him in an interview say that he was never in a street protest in his life. So he's a child of the middle class, grew up in Boston, went right into Wall Street as a young man, and he's been inside these buildings. He's been inside these buildings for all of his life with these mysterious financial instruments that have victimized us. He's a Wall Street guy. And he ultimately will defend on Kitty Corner from the Bank of America that we exorcised a couple weeks ago. B of A, bad on mountaintop removal, tar sands, hydro fracking, very bad on foreclosing, kicking hundreds of thousands of people out of their homes. Bloomberg will defend B of A.
Well, I recall that demonstration that you were in, the Reverend Billy, where you were exorcising the devils of Bank of America. It certainly reminds me of the scene in the Bible where Jesus chases out the scribes and the Pharisees from the temple. The theology is on the side of all of you people demonstrating, and I'm wondering what the next move is now, because there's a possibility that, in fact, there's a judge that's ruled in favor of the occupiers. I don't know how you were suggesting earlier that may not be enforced. What's your understanding of where things are going to go next?
I think that we get into a next step sort of framing of our relative position to history. I just got back from London. The Occupy London is on the in the plaza in front of St. Paul's Cathedral. And as you look out across the 2,000 Occupy sites, then you look back 2 years to Mohamed Bouazizi in the little Tunisian town. this movement is much broader than simply a tactic about the next step we take. I think that the movement with its presidential ambitions and these police who are now kind of passing out of the Rudy Giuliani era, the 9/11 era, where they always had the upper hand, they may be thinking in more kind of localized next step. This movement, however, has a strange magic that we don't even have a database of all 2,000 sites at this point, but I feel as if the people at the occupation sites are in some kind of communication with each other. We share the direct democracy semaphore signals, of course, the wiggling fingers, the rolling fists, that we share the mic check, and then we travel one to the next. I'm going to go to Portland as soon as I can and then come back down towards California.
If you come,
and ultimately, we will be in the corner office asking these people. I'm looking up at those corner offices now in these 65-story-high buildings with the NYPD helicopters hovering above them. We will be up there asking these people to go to their offshore accounts, go to their white sand beaches somewhere, and rehab for the rest of their lives.
Well, if you come by Los Angeles, be sure to drop by the studio here, and I'll give you a jar of my mustard as a reward.
I'm ready to do a fundraiser again for your hallowed station. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Powered by the people. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, I know that you're expecting some kind of trouble here later. I just talked to your wife earlier, and she said that she was hoping to hear from you, particularly if you were arrested. What are the chances of confrontation? I guess it doesn't even require a confrontation to get arrested, right?
Oh, no. They could kettle us up and wrap us in their orange plastic fences. They can do whatever they want. Our creativity resides in our nonviolence. You know, if you read the Declaration of the Occupation, just had a member of the Stop Shopping Choir, Eric Rivas McGregor, come up and give me a hug. We've created a song. We are the 99% as we gather together, that takes the words of the Declaration of the Occupation and elevates it just a little bit past what we chant anyway. We are the 99%. It's a musicalization of our resistance. We're creating out of our nonviolent position. And I don't believe that the violent position will create culture. I think they will retreat into their armoring, whereas what I see out here as I look out across the sea of people from every possible origination, every possible culture, we really will not let Wall Street continue to dominate our lives. And the police, one by one by one, will understand that they're part of the 99% truth.
Well, you're doing the Lord's work, Reverend Billy. I thank you for joining us. And
I don't think it's a Lord, and I don't think it's a patriarch. Although I'll give that Lord my rent if he's got a sword at my neck. And I think it's the Earth. I think it's the God Goddess mystery thing. We don't know. The Holy Spirit is here somewhere. I'll call back if she shows up. Amen.
Okay.
Hallelujah, LA. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Los Angeles. Hallelujah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Reverend Billy. I've just been speaking with the Reverend Billy, who's an anti-corporatist activist who takes the role of a revivalist minister with his Church of Life After Shopping. The Reverend and his gospel choir exhort consumers to abandon the products of large corporations and mass media. He also preaches a broader message of economic justice, environmental protection, and anti-militarism, protesting sweatshops and illegal and unnecessary walls. He just joined us from near Zuccotti Park, where the Occupy Wall Street protesters were just evicted last last night. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking with a business professor. He'll be speaking to us about how much the Congress, who are exempt from insider trading, have been making out like bandits.
New York, you're perfect. Oh, please don't change a thing. Your mild billionaire mayor's now convinced he's a king. And so the boring collect, I mean all disrespect. New York, I love you, but you're bringing me down.